to a little bit more for more people joining.
I think we'll be recording this and people will join. I just want to give you, make sure you have enough time to present. So you have a full hour.
Okay.
All right,
So,
so I'll stop sharing.
I don't have permission to.
Oh, sorry. Let me give you permission here.
Okay, can you see my screen now?
Yeah.
Okay, in the R7s, we present one POC named ONAP IBM support for a vertical industry. And that POC present how ONAP integrate the interbased network technology in order to support vertical industry use case. And so through that POC, we find ONAP has great potential to support vertical industry. So in the R8, we start to separate POC use case. One will focus on how ONAP integrate with the IBM technology. Another will discuss about how ONAP support for vertical industry use case. Today, I will present the POC about how ONAP support for the vertical industry. This is the first slide, and this slide describes the purpose of why we want to start this POC. We think vertical industry is one of the greatest potential 5G market, and with some enhancement, ONAP can handle different vertical industry OM scenarios, and it can help reduce the cost when providing network OM service for different vertical industries. This is a purpose. And this slide summarizes two typical vertical industry scenarios. It has two scenarios. In the scenario A, we will have one centralized operator ONAP. We will manage multiple vertical industry network. And because some medium or large sized vertical industry, they may want the operator to help them build the separate vertical industry network. So the operator ONAP will provide the centralized OM capabilities. And the scenario in scenario B is for some small sized vertical industries. Those vertical industry will rely on the operator to deploy the necessary network device in their vertical areas. And they may also share some network resources with the operator network. So in this case, the operator ONAP needs the capabilities to manage the shared resources between vertical industry and the mobile network, and also provide the OM service for both of them. And this is a scenario description. And then I
Oh,
will
wait,
just
so I have a quick question on that previous slide. So there could also be multiple operators, right, for across different vertical industries. Do you expect that they might have cooperation across these or not?
Yes, it can be multiple operator because I think ONAP also has some people discuss about how multiple operator cooperate with each other with some shared resources. It can be I mean this is some just there are some two typical scenarios. We will have some like sub scenario like we may have two or three operator here, and those operator will cooperate with each other to manage multiple vertical industry networks. I think, but it will make the use case much more complete. So maybe we think we will discuss it later, because for now we will start with the simple scenario.
And I guess examples of verticals industries might be something like manufacturing or transportation or retail. Is that right? Is that what what you mean by vertical industry?
Yes.
So,
It's a, yeah, I think the vertical industry is a little bit from it has difference with the enterprise we talk about. because I think ONAP also has some people are discuss about ONAP for enterprise. I think enterprise and vertical industry, they have some difference. Enterprise maybe some, you know, some like mobile office, like something like that. And the vertical industry is more like manufacturers.
Yeah. When I think enterprise businesses, I think large companies versus small private companies. When I think industries, or maybe vertical, I don't too often use the term vertical industry, or you know, but when I think industries, I think different kinds of areas like manufacturing or you know, hospitals or retailing or things like that.
They may have something in common. They may have something in common, like they may require some capabilities from ONAP, but they are different. Yeah.
Okay, and so the reason why this is useful or important is because for ONAP, you might want to group together industries that are that have similar characteristics, and so therefore they might have similar intent-based needs. Is that right?
Because this POC is, I mean, in the R8, we have two separate POC. One will focus on the intent-based network. Another will discuss about the vertical industries. If ONAP integrate with IBM's, we think it can better support the vertical industries.
Mm.
But we prefer to discuss them separately, so those two projects can move forward separately, so will not affect each other. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. I see. And I'm just trying to understand scenario B a little bit more. So I understand completely the a traditional mobile networks because I've been in there for more than 20 years. What makes the vertical industry network different than just a normal network? Why is it a different kind of network here?
For example, in the scenario A, vertical industry industries, they want operator to help them build the separate network, and they want to isolate the network resources to make sure. But they want isolated networks, but they don't have the capabilities to provide the OM service. So they may want operator ONAP to help them to maintain their network. But since those resources is owned by the industry itself, so in this case, operator will have the permissions to manage these resources. But vertical industry should also have the permissions to access the network data and access network sources. So that means it will make the OM service much more complete compared with the normal mobile network, and how to manage it. And especially when there are a lot of vertical industries, there are a lot of different vertical industries. They all want to rent the OM service from one operators, and this operator ONAP to support these scenarios. We think that's the difference between vertical industry network and the normal network.
I see. So in a sense, can I sort of think of the vertical industry network as it's kind of like a private network that's used by a particular?
In the scenario A, it's more like a private network.
I see.
Yeah.
But in scenario B, it's not.
Yes, it's kind of half private network, half private network, because it's shared some device with 2C network. And so it makes the management much more complete. But in the R8, we will focus on the scenario A. And if we have time, we will also do some work about the scenario B. Yeah.
So just a quick question also, sorry. So in scenario A, for the devices, let's say it's an industry that's delivering products through drones, the drones that are accessing the network in that vertical industry network, no other normal like public UE mobile phone could access that vertical industry A's network, right? It's just the devices for that particular industry or set of operators or conglomerate. Is that right? Did I understand? So in other words, the vertical industry A is kind of like a private network. It's only the devices that access that network are fully
yes,
under the control.
I think your question is, in these scenarios, public UE, can public UE connected to this network and
yes,
access the internet
yeah.
outside? Yeah. I think it really depends whether you have some gateways in your mm-hmm. In your network. If you have if for example, if you deploy one gateway here, mm-hmm. and this gateway is owned by yourself, but it can be connected to the outside internet, and this gateway will have some firewall things. In this case, we will also it may be some public UE here can connected to the network through this private network.
So you could allow that operator could allow UEs to access the public, but the basic idea of this
basic idea is it must have some permission access control mm-hmm. Mechanism. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. This is a description about scenarios, and the next two slides we will describe how what we want to do in the R8, and then we will describe the POCO demo use case about the R8 we want to present at the end. And first we want to we will do something about tenant management and isolations for vertical industries. We will treat each vertical industry as a tenant. And we will, so in this case, we will enhance AI schemas for different vertical industry tenant. These schemas will include in some basic tenant profile info. We will add the schemas for the vertical industry tenant profile. These schemas will describe the base info about the tenant, like vertical industry tenant ID, like description info, like location info. Also like relations between resources and the vertical industry tenant. We will also enhance the schema for the PNF. The PNF schema should include the info, which can be used to map the PNF resources to some tenant account, for example, the location info. And it will also provide the isolate resources from different It will also isolate resources from different vertical industry tenants. We will associate the isolated resources to the corresponding vertical industry tenants based on the mapping result. And we will also implement the permission control for different vertical industry tenants by leveraging the multi-tenancy in ONAP. This is one existing project. And for example, in the scenario A, PNF is owned and managed by the operator, but the vertical industry tenant also has a permission to access the PNF resources data. This is what we're going to do about tenant management. And we will also provide one centralized use case in the UI for different vertical industry tenant. We will allow the vertical industry to create a tenant account to query and update the tenant profile info. We will allow the vertical industry to associate the isolated resources to a corresponding tenant profile. And we will also allow the tenant to access their own data, including resources data and the necessary configuration data. And we will also enhance the service instantiation procedure with some specified tenant info and necessary vertical industry areas. We will add some necessary building blocks or workflows for the service instantiations in the ONAP SO. For example, during the PNF instantiations, the SO will also trigger the process of trigger the process to associate this PNF to the corresponding vertical industry tenant. So in this ways, this PNF resources is banded with this tenant, and the other tenant cannot access this PNF resources.
So just a quick question on that. So basically, a tenant is basically an enterprise or a company, maybe in a particular vertical industry, right?
Yes.
And a tenant, what if a tenant straddles two industries? So for example, you might imagine maybe a shipping company, may be in a retail or medical and crosses, you can imagine maybe a tenant crosses a couple of vertical industries. Is there a way to track that that tenant's profile should have access to multiple different vertical networks? You can imagine there's lots of different hybrid, hybrid type things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about how to manage the resources. Maybe we can define three type of resources. One is totally isolated resources. It is owned only by one tenant. Another type may be the shared resources. And this shared resources is shared between different tenants. And the third type may be also the shared resources, but this resources is shared between tenant and the mobile network. Yeah.
The public network.
Yeah, the public network. So
that's scenario B, right?
Yes, it's scenario B. It really depends how we define the type of resources, how to manage. We create a tenant account. We can define what kind of tenant account it is. It really depends how we develop the tenant mechanism. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's exactly kind of what I'm asking. So in that previous slide from this one, you talk about ANAI schemas and defining records within ANAI and the...
Yes.
So in this vertical industry tenant unique ID info and description, you would expect the schema to be extended to capture the characteristics of a tenant or a company, let's say, and what vertical industry they're in and what resources they have are associated with. Is that right?
Yes. In the R8, we maybe start with the most simple scenarios, and at the end of the at the last page, we will describe a demo use case. Because in the R8, we will start with the most simple scenario. We want to, like, we have some end-to-end use case to present, okay, it works. And in these ways, ONAP can support this simple vertical industry use case. And then we can step-by-step continue developer to support other much more complicated scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the R8, we will focus on the scenario A, like one centralized ONAP to manage like two or three vertical industry network, and those vertical industry network, they isolated between each other and no resources sharings. And this is most simple scenarios. And we were first to have a poke demo to show how to do the end-to-end management in this use case. And if everybody think, okay, this poke demo is good, okay, we can continue developer in these ways. We will continue developer, and in order to support much more complicated use case. Yeah.
Do you expect, I guess, to use like a simulator? You have a, this isn't a live network, right? So there are probably simulated components that you're demoing. Is that right?
Yes, we have some simulator when we do the 5G NIMCM use case and 5G NIM and 5G PM use case. We have some simulator, and we will continue. We also upload the simulator to the integration project, and we will continue to do some developer based on the simulator we already upload.
So one thing, and I hate to burst your bubble, but one thing that's been happening in the past two or three releases is there's a new component called the Configuration Persistence Service, the CPS.
CPS.
Project.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that? So it feels like to me the architecture of this should not be updating ANI schemas, but rather using the CPS architecture to store new records related to tenants, because so ANI's charter, ANI's purpose, I mean, the reason why ANI exists is to just to keep track, simply to keep track of the available elements, the network elements that are in real time that are available to ONAP. It shouldn't be keeping track of, I think, things like this, where basically, you know, what's the relationship of tenants to, you know, to records in ANI. But CPS is perfect, I think, for this use. Basically, you would create a adjunct record in CPS, and there you would create tenant records in CPS. And so CPS allows you to create trees and tree structures and logical records. So this feels like it's a perfect use of CPS to store that kind of information. And then each CPS record should have associations back to ANI. And so you can basically track.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I understand. I mean, I think CPS is just like the AI. It is also a motor drive database.
Yes.
So I think we only need to do some little enhancement for CPS. But I think, what's the progress of CPS?
You actually don't even need to change CPS at all, because CPS is a model-driven framework. So all you need to do, so instead of to change ANI, you have to change fundamental, you know, ANI schema records.
To
use CPS, all you need to do is load model schemas to tell it what records you want, the kind of records that you want to store.
Okay.
And then. Yeah, you're able to use it. So the CPS team meeting meets every Friday. I should forward you the information there, and they'd be more than happy to help you figure out how to use CPS. There's also many CPS overview presentations as well. I can point you to those as well. So after the meeting, I'll give you some emails and the people. And the key contacts to help you. The reason why CPS started was exactly because people were starting to store information in ANI that doesn't really relate to the network management or awareness of elements within the network. And this is certainly a case. I mean, ANI shouldn't really care about tenants, really. However, a CPS is a perfect place to use and store and capture profiles of tenants. So that's a good use of CPS.
Yes, thank you. I think it will also save me a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, because CPS is just
a lot easier to use. Yeah.
Yeah, much more easier to use. Yeah. Okay. The last page is about the POC demo use case. It's about the use case we want to present at the end of this POC. And from this figure, you can have an overview about what we're going to do in the R8. We will enhance the ONAP UI. It will be used to manage the tenant. It will also be used for some attendant resources management. And we will also do some little enhancement in the SO during the PF instantiation procedure. The SO is responsible to trigger the process of associating PF resources to the corresponding vertical industry tenant. And we will, instead of enhance AI, we will do some work to enhance the CPS, load the schema in order to support the, in order to save the relations between resources and the tenant, also to save the tenant info about, also to save the tenant info. And we have three preconditions about the demo use case. First, we will create two tenant accounts for a vertical industry A and a vertical industry B. And we will design and publish the service or PF or workflow for the vertical industry tenants. We will also design and publish the corresponding CDS blueprint. And in the step one, the two vertical industry tenants will query the corresponding resources instance separately, and they will get nothing because they don't have any for at this time they don't have any resources. And in the step two, the operator will activate and complete the PNF PNP and PNF instantiation for the vertical industry tenant A. And during the process, PNF one will be associated to the tenant account of vertical industry A based on the location info automatically. And then the vertical industry tenant A will query the query the current PNF instance. It will get the info about the PNF one. And then in the step four, operator will activate and complete the PNF PNP and instantiation for the vertical industry tenant B. And during this process, the PNF two will be associated to the tenant B and based on the location info. And the vertical industry tenant B will query the corresponding PNF instance. It will get the info about the PNF two. The operator in the step six, operator will implement the NIM configurations for PNF one and PNF two. For example, some configuration about GNodeB functions, some configuration about NRCLs. At step seven, the vertical industry A will query the corresponding NIM info, and it will get the MOI info just created in the step six about all this MOI info is related to always MOI info is related to the PNF one. And then in the step eight, the tenant B will query the current MOI info in MOI info, and it will get the MOI info in the PM2, PF2. So through this demo, we can see the operator can manage different vertical industry tenant and the resources between the PNF resources between two different vertical industry tenant. They are isolated between each other. The tenant can only access the resources data which belongs to this tenant, and it cannot access the resource data and the configuration data which belong to other tenant. That's a description about the demo we will present at the end of R8. Yeah. And
I have some questions there. So in that bottom box, do you mean ran for tenant B and ran for tenant A? They're not both tenant A, is that right? In the red bottom box in the picture. Down.
Yeah.
That's B, right?
That's B. That's B. Yeah.
Okay. And so I would also expect a black arrow for a PNF PNP coming up from those two RAN boxes up into the PRHMS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the RAN networks, each elements within the different RANs for the tenants will each all be reporting the PNF registration VES events up into ONAP, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, and When you say you're enhancing the PNF instantiation with the green arrows, do you mean that basically ONAP will, I'm not sure I understand what the green arrows are showing. Are you saying that ONAP can create new elements for particular tenants? Is that what you mean to apply there, or?
For now, we have different plans to associate the PNF resources to the corresponding tenant. The first plan, the plan A, is during the operator will trigger the PNF PMP procedure based on the tenant info. It's like when we trigger the PNF, when we trigger the PNF PMP, we already know this PNF will be associated to the tenant A, and in the PMP process procedure or the or in the instantiation procedure, this PNF will be associated to the vertical tenant A. That's a plan A. And the plan B is we first complete the PNF PMP procedure, and then like okay, operator will see that's all the tenant info and that's all the PNF resources we have in this network. Then we can do the associations, like because because this vertical industry tenant is in this area, and this PNF is located in the nearby area, so they should be associated. They should be associated with each other. So the operator will like press some buttons through UUI. Okay, for the vertical industry tenant A, you can use this PNF. Do something like that. We have actually not for now. We have two plans, and we haven't decided which plans is better. So maybe here, we didn't give you a very detailed description about how we do the associations. Yeah,
I see. Okay, so basically you will have PNFs. Say in this case, you just have two PNFs, but let's say you have like 10 each. So tenant A has 10 PNFs and tenant B has 10 yes. PNFs. And I think you're saying that some of them maybe, you know, you're going to have some kind of interface that lets you know these PNFs belong to tenant A and those PNFs belong to tenant B. And
yes.
that somebody can kind of figure out, at least from the simulator, what they belong to. But in real life, you probably need some kind of maybe an application or map application or something that tells you where these PNFs are located. And it might not be so easy to figure out these particular RANs belong to that tenant or those particular RANs belong to that tenant B, right? That might require some kind of additional, besides a pencil and paper management. Is that what you see as well? Or?
I understand. You just recommend we should also have something like mapping functions. This mapping functions is designed to do the mapping things. Yeah.
Yes, right. Or at least show, if not a mapping function, at least somehow somebody has to be able to visualize which things
yes.
belong to what networks, right? Yeah,
that's a very good advice, because we also think about how to present the we want to present the association procedure to everyone, like see okay in this ways this PNF is associated to that tenant and
yes.
another PNF, yeah, something like that.
Yes,
I mean
exactly, yeah.
That's the things we are discussed about, and how to present this demo, and also to make everybody understand how it works. Yeah, that's very good advice, I think.
Yeah, so having a fair amount of knowledge in 5G, you will also expect, between a 4G and 5G network, it'll have 1,000 times the capacity, but also approximately 10 to 100 times the amount of elements that are managed by ONAP in the long term. So 5G will roll out in five phases, right? But the first few phases, which we're in now, is the networks are kind of small. But eventually, when you have IoT and you're really trying to hit the URLLC numbers, you'll have many, and also when you have the full FR2 millimeter wave deployments, which only have 50 to 100 meter reach, they're short range. Essentially, they're short range base stations, because of the physics of millimeter wave transmission, right? Which means that you'll have, the bottom line is, you'll have tenfold of the amount of network of elements that you currently have today, which means that, in a typical metropolitan area, which might have about 400 or so deployments, you'll now have potentially like 4,000 deployments, right? So yes. I think it becomes very important to be able to, you're only simulating here with just two things, which is obviously just for a demonstration purposes, that's fine. But you also want to, for the use case itself, you want to keep in mind that networks can be, that ONAP will eventually be managing our thousands of things, right?
So, yes, your advice is when we design the mechanism, we should consider this mechanism should support like many, many PNF things.
Yes, right? That's yeah. Right. Yeah. And yes, I think you have to be aware that the future networks will have many thousands of things, particularly. So a particular tenant may have maybe thousands of things that they have to be associated with. So just I think keep that in mind when you're designing, either a simulator or a visualizer or a mapper. To demonstrate something, you might use just one or two things, and that's fine. That might demonstrate a concept. But bear in mind that an actual real network that ONAP might be managing eventually, maybe not right now, but as 5G evolves, will be huge. Yeah. So.
Yes, I understand. We don't want to design another mechanism for another use case for which contains large or which connects large scale network. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should consider this at the very beginning, make our system is easily
scalable.
To be. Yeah.
Right. So I think you want to take essentially scalability in mind,
yes.
when you're designing something that you can, so that somebody can figure out what network this particular element belongs to, one or more networks, this particular element, vertical industry, this particular element belongs to. You have to make it so that
maybe some,
it's not too manual, that it's able to be automated, that somebody can assign automatically, many hundreds of elements to a particular vertical industry or one or more vertical industries. So that might seem like a topic, that's very remote when you're just trying to do a POC. But just, when you're designing something, just keep that in mind, I think.
Yes, we understand. I mean, maybe in the next release, we also want to start a topic to discuss about it. I mean, if we have a very good POC demo in this release, okay. Maybe we think okay, it's good, it's okay if we do these things in these ways. In the next release, we really want to start a separate topic to discuss about this, because we think it's a very, very big problem. And
that's good. I think also, in my mind, for the scenario B, where you have a public network and sort of a private vertical industry network, that flow that you're showing, where the PNF comes online and registers, and the PNF registration handler acknowledges that, with plug and play that PNF is new and has come online. I think, will there be some, if a PNF crosses multiple industries or is it both a public and a private node,
does it need to do the associations for each tenant?
Yes, yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting to, yeah.
Yes. That's also a very good problem. It's a very good questions. I think we should find a ways to, find the most easy ways to handle these share resources scenarios. I mean, if this PMF needed to do the whole PMP procedure for each tenant, it's too complicated. Yes, for the scenario B's, I think we needed to find some simple ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when I design this, I will think about this. Yeah, keep this in mind.
Ben, I have a question. Kamal speaking here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to shared resources, I think you may have a scenario or a use case where two tenants, they want to share the same resources, right? The same resource, right?
Yes.
So in this case, I think if you look at the 3GPP NRM, we have what we call RRM policy, radio resource management. For instance, you can have a dedicated resource, a shared resource. So you can specify, for instance, this is mainly in network slicing. This is what we are doing in our end-to-end network slicing use case, by the way, for RAN segment. So for RAN slicing, with RRM policy, you can create slices, and you have this RRM policy member list. So that, let's say I am a tenant A, I want a dedicated resource. Even I'm using it, or I'm not using it. I'm not using it. Nobody will use this resource. If I want shared, means that I'm using it. Whenever I release the resources, somebody else can use it, or it can be used by the same time. This is, I think, you can leverage on this feature or in this functionality.
Okay.
I don't know if all the vendors. I mean, here you are doing a simulator, right? You can do it, but I don't know if vendors, they support this RRM policy in their real GNode biz.
Yeah, I will check this 3GPP NRM slicing since tomorrow. Yeah, but thank you for your advice.
Yeah, you can leverage on this. If you want to use share the resources or each tenant will have its own resource, radio resources. I mean.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
One more question here.
Oh, wait, hold on, Kamal. So is that in 3GPP 23.501, 502, 503? Is that specified?
It's in 541.
541. Oh, that's the 5G NRM, but the actual usage of this sounds like it's something that's applied in network slicing, which is 23.501, 502, 503, right?
Yes.
So the parameters, of course, are in 23.541, which is the 5G NRM, but the usage of those parameters, I think, in network slicing, at least what you mentioned, I think the network slicing standards
in network slicing,
are 23.501, 502, 503, yeah. Sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead. You had another question.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I mean, if are you planning to cover the IoT devices or only 5G base stations or GNode biz?
For now, we are thinking about the 5G base stations and all these demo things on the, it's about 5G base stations. But I think if we want to make this mechanism much more scalable for the different scenarios, we should consider more and more. We should design the mechanism which can support different devices, which can handle different use cases. That's the final goal. That's the final goals for this project. But for now, we will start with simple scenarios to have some end-to-end demos that's the final goal. We really want to support for different kind of device. We really want to this mechanism, this project can come out something which can handle all the vertical industry use case with ONAP. But at this step, we will start with the simple use case. Yeah.
So Kamal, how would you envision, how would an IoT factor into this kind of use case?
There is a vision, but from architecture wise, this architecture has to be revisited. Because if you take example, I have done some IoT projects. So take example of narrowband IoT. Mm-hmm. So
4G narrowband IoT, where you have or a device. 5G?
Yes, 4G LTE category.
Category M. Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Take example. You have an IoT device, and then you bootstrap it. Once you power it off, we need to have some in our own app component platform. We need to add some components which can send, let's say, like here, for instance, the CDS, which can send initial configuration to bootstrap, let's say, because the IoT device, it comes with a default factory settings, right? So if you want your device to communicate with on a platform or any IoT platform, so here the platform needs to send some configuration parameters so that it can send the data consume the data from the platform. This is how I envision it. If you want to do, to cover IoT devices, there are. If you see what the hyperscalers like AWS or Azure or Google, they are doing IoT. So they have that kind of gateways. These gateways, can support multiple protocols like lightweight M2M or the CoAP or MQTT, this type of protocols. If, for instance, the device sends lightweight M2M and the platforms understand HTTP, so this gateway converts the protocol so that can be read by the platform. This as the gateway as the entry point, and then, of course, you have other components like device management. Here we can see how we can leverage on some ONAP components to do the device management and consolidation and device consolidation for analytics. This is basically, I'm thinking how we can leverage ONAP or evolve ONAP so that it caters the IoT devices. Same way here, what we are doing, we have the, if you see the analogy with the PNF, we have the plug and play, which do auto discovery. Then you have CDS, which applies some resource configuration, which does some resource configuration management, right? So here is the same thing. Here you have, let's say you have some components, which pushes the configuration to the device and do some configuration, like give the URL of the platform. So to the device, and the device, when it boot ups and start is configured, it starts to send some data to the platform.
Yeah. So for me, the way I see IoT would impact this kind of thing is mostly in the scaling. So there's roughly 10 different protocols that IoT could use, and 5G wireless is just one of the kinds of networks that support 5G, the IoT networks. Other popular things are like Zigbee and Z-Wave and things like that, and PANs, yeah. and even ad hoc networks, right? So eventually maybe ONAP might manage those kinds of networks as well. But this is, kind of tying Kamal to what I earlier said. Also, indirectly was hinting at basically IoT. One of the big things with IoT is that, you'll have, eventually the vision is like 70 trillion connected devices, right? So you have lots and lots of devices connected to the network. But ultimately what that means is that you'll have about tenfold the amount of actual network nodes, PNFs, that are managing those many devices. And so that's why I made the comment. Also, you know, I didn't say the word IoT, but if behind the scenes, it's basically IoT, is that you have a much larger network that it is managing, you know, many more devices for sure. And actually the density of devices as well, not just for IoT, but the 5G density is 1 million devices per square kilometer, or one device per 0.92 square feet. So you have, you know, the potential connection density for a 5G network, of course, is huge. And to support that, of course, you have a lot more nodes in the network. So I think what it means to this use case is that you just have to be, any solution you put in place, you have to be aware that you may have many thousands of PNFs essentially that might be part of one or more vertical industries.
Yes.
So I had another, go ahead.
Yeah, Ben, this is Sandeep. It's a question also related to what Kamal said. The mobile device management, right? Any end user device, like our consumer mobile device or IoT device, managing that device, is it the scope of ONAP?
Not generally. So it's indirectly, but basically ONAP will generally manage the PNFs, the wireless base stations that manage those devices. But so I say indirectly because essentially what it means is that you probably have to be aware of certain parameters or certain configurations that may broadly set or manage a set of, you know, devices or related to a set of devices. So the ONAP, except for maybe certain use cases, we don't expect to actually individually manage, you know, those devices, but you will indirectly manage devices by managing the many hundreds or thousands of PNFs that manage those devices. But I do have one important point I think that's important to think about. I think the issue of race conditions and resource contention might be, you know, those software topics might be an interesting thing you have to think about. And what I mean by that is, suppose you have two tenants here in your example, or two vertical industries, tenant A and B. And this will probably be more important maybe for the category B type, scenario B type thing deployment you have. But suppose I have a RAN that is shared between two tenants, and I have that blue arrow where you're configuring something for a RAN. If one vertical industry has one idea or has one configuration and one need, but a different vertical industry that still uses that same, is a shared PNF, has a different kind of configuration or need for tenant B, then somehow, you know,
there will be a conflict.
It'll be exactly. And that conflict is generally called like a race condition, where basically two configurations are racing against each other to set a particular value. And so you have what's called a resource contention issue. Basically you have a conflict, just like you say, you have a conflict, which means that whichever thing races in there first, that's why it's called a race condition, I guess, can overwrite maybe a configuration of something else. So I don't know if you have a thought about that, but it sounds like it could be a problem here, right?
Yes, we have think about that. It's like, it's not just for configuration, actually for the performance management, for the fault managers. We all have the same problems. Mm. Yeah. We think to solve this problem, it may require some enhancement for the CDS, but we haven't have a very clear plan about that. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
But this problem, we think about this problem. Yeah, we know this problem.
Okay. Yeah. So you're aware of the problem, because I think it's going to be something that maybe isn't so easy to solve, or you certainly, if you, the earlier you come up with a solution, I think the better, because.
Yes, because I mean, CDS is a very well-designed component in ONAP. I mean, it can load a different blueprint. It can load a very different blueprint. You can evoke the operation you designed. Now we are thinking about maybe we don't need any enhancement. We also just needed to, design different, upload a different blueprint for different tenant. And maybe in this way, we can try to avoid the conflict. But maybe we cannot avoid the conflict. If conflict still happened, we also need to add some functions. We also need some new functions to check the conflict, to solve the conflict, something like that. But for now, at this time, we didn't have a very clear answer for that. Yeah.
Yeah, right now it's very early, and for a demo, I don't think it'll be, you know, it's not something you have to.
Yes.
It's not a problem right now, but I think it's something that you certainly need to think about, and maybe a big problem later if you don't design it well now. Yeah.
I think this problem also happened when the multiple vendor share the same RAM.
Exactly. Yeah. Multiple vendors, or your scenario B where you have basically a RAN that's shared between a public and private, or a public RAN network, traditional RAN network, and a vertical industry, it could be an issue, right? Where, and as you say, it's not just for configuration, but all of the FCAPS type. Topics. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Good. Okay, so we're almost out of time. Anybody have any other final thoughts or questions for, I thought this was a really great presentation. I certainly know a lot, understand this use case a lot better. Any thoughts or final comments from anybody?
Yeah, Ben, I mean, as you said, I mean, we need to think about all the scenarios so that, I mean, to come up with a good design. I mean, for sure, what you stated for the shared resources, same thing. I mean, I was thinking that if I am in one area, one location area where I'm served, I mean, I'm tenant A, I'm a consumer, I'm a tenant A, I'm in one area of tenant A, and then I do handover to another area, which is covered by tenant B. How, I mean, am I allowed to use these resources, or I'm not allowed? I mean, this kind of scenarios needs to be considered so that we come up with
the other design, thing. I was thinking too was that, if you read through this slide, I think the question also that comes to mind is, I don't know that actual tenants will. I view tenants are probably more users of, they're actual companies like, whatever, Google or Alibaba or something.
Yes.
So I think the actual wireless operators like AT&T or CMCC or Verizon Wireless, they will be the actual people who are running ONAP that are going to do the configuration for the tenants. So, I think, right?
This is the point, Ben. I think this is what my understanding from ANEI team when they introduced this multi-tenancy in ANEI in Guilin. Like they are using owning entity. Let's say if I am in AT&T, and then there are different organizations or different department in radio, for instance. So I have multi-vendor radio access network. I have Nokia, Ericsson, let's say Huawei, et cetera, et cetera. So and then I'm with the owning entity, let's say owning entity, let's say X can only manage manage the PNFs related to tenant A, for instance.
Right, and, right. And you have...
This is how I understood it. Yeah. I mean...
But you also have an additional layer, I think, of complexity because, you know, essentially the wireless operator, you know, whatever it is, CMCC, has to know about Alibaba's configuration needs, you know, basically, right? So
yes, because maybe the vertical industry, they don't have the capability to do some complex, you know, network operations.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe they just need to rent the service from the operator ONAP. Mm. Right. And the operator ONAP understand their need and do the provide the service to the operation, invoke the operation for them. But they should have the commissions to access the resources data, access the runtime network data. Yeah.
Right. And this is the whole concept, three layers of services, right? Like the information, like the platform as a service and software as a service and so forth. So those are, I guess that's a common problem of that topic. Yeah, but I think it's very applicable here, the way you're presenting the tenants. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good advice. I mean, maybe we should also define a different tenant. Different type of tenant. Some tenant, they have the capabilities. They are very strong.
Knowledgeable of how to set up their networks. Yeah. Yeah. But you're going to have...
Because...
Go ahead.
If you look at it from network slicing, in network slicing, I mean, the operator can allow or not allow the communication service provider to manage their slices.
Yes.
Right? So I don't know if you can... you are going to... leverage on the same capability, or I mean, the tenant cannot manage their resources.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I think that Chen Huang is saying is that, you know, some tenants will be very smart and they know exactly how they want their RANs to work, and others will not at all know at all. They won't have any idea about their. They just want to use the. You know, they go to CMC and say, I'm Alibaba, you set up everything for me, but then that means that the operator must know a lot about that particular industry, a vertical industry, basically. Yeah, so, and the needs of that vertical industry.
And if the tenant want to do the whole things by themselves, there will be a conflict. It may be the conflict between the tenant and the operator.
Yeah, will they have their own kind of GUI or interface to set those things, and that will that be in conflict with the wireless operator setting things, and you have another kind of race condition or conflict, basically, where one person is setting something and another, you know, the tenant is setting, wants to set a value of something, while at the same time the operator wants to set a different value or something like that might happen too.
Yes, the whole thing gets much more complex and much more interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There's interesting problems to solve. And again, it might not be for a few releases that you have to worry about this, but it's something that if you think about it early and have a solution, it might help the long run. Yeah. It might future-proof for your use case. Great. All right. Thanks, everybody. I think this is a really wonderful presentation. So if you send me the slides, I'll upload it to the pages, and the recording will be available in the use case realization and the R8 portal page. So thank you again for this presentation, and have a great day. Have a great night. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.